swell silver hammer came down upon her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell silver hammer made sure that she was dead.
Wow, what a setup. It's amazing when you have three people here in the studio. So much to do.
Call that number, please.
You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We are streaming live on the Facebook. Eventually, just going to press start. We've had quite a bizarre show. We had what, three no shows today? Two no shows? How many no shows?
Yeah. I'm not taking it personally.
They're all out trick or treating early, I guess. Well, it's our Halloween special, and normally what I do is on our Halloween shows, it's kind of where I get the biggest permission to interview who Christians would say are like evil people. So that's when we've had the High Priest of the Church of Satan on the show. We've had the leader of Canada's polygamous colony, who's now in prison. The High Priest of the Wiccan Church of Canada. We've had druids. Who else?
Drew Marshall.
Speaking of evil.
Yes.
But today, this segment's called the Hell of Head Trauma. Four people, four stories, one thing in common. All have been sidelined by head trauma. And I'm trying to figure out which one I heard about first. Mike, I think it was you. And how long ago was your head trauma?
It was 2.5 years ago.
Really? 2.5 years ago?
2.5 years ago.
We're waiting for Tim to figure out the board that he needs to really figure out next week while I'm not here. So there it is.
I'm here.
How many?
2.5 years on the sidelines so far and counting.
So that, I mean, with you, it was dramatic because you're a recording artist, you're a performer, you're a pianist, arranger, composer. I mean, I put all the fancy terms in there. And then you could not do that anymore.
Yeah, I could do nothing. I was limited to absolutely nothing for the first bunch of months. And even, it's still trickling down to now. I can work from home, but it's been a long stretch of canceling things.
Yeah.
But, the miracle was I felt terrible. First, like when it first happened, I thought, what am I going to do? I got to make a living. How am I going to keep our house and family going? And so I canceled my very first gig. I thought, okay. And then I think it was Jacob Moon, and he paid me for not playing.
That's a good gig.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice when that happens. And then, it just kept the sort of the miracle of people giving just kept happening. And, somehow has kept us going the whole time.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What happened?
I wish I had a good story.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let me say.
Thinking of something.
For some reason in my brain, it was like, oh, yeah, Mike was riding his bicycle in Toronto and got hit, got in an accident and hit his head. And Tim goes, no, he hit his head in a cupboard door.
Well, I couldn't come up with anything. I was thinking of sort of a shark and, like, I was trying to come up with something.
Anything.
Yeah, but I basically had a bit of a stomach ache. I woke up in the middle of the night, went to drink some water. Took two sips of water, and for the first time in my life, I just passed out, hit the tile floor, and then that was that.
And do we know why you passed out?
No idea.
Is that a little worrisome?
It hasn't happened since, so I think I'm fine. And there is something that happens when you drink water fast, that you can have a reaction where you just faint.
Oh.
Never happened before, but and not since.
So you went right down to the floor, smacked your head.
Yeah.
And out, you were out for how long?
About 10 seconds. My wife came.
She heard the bang.
She heard the bang and was a little freaked out, so she got up. And I thought, I woke up and I thought, okay, my jaw hurts a bit. I think I'm all right. So I went back to bed. It's probably the thing you shouldn't do when you hit your head. But I went back to bed and I think I'm fine. The next day I woke up and I looked at some computer screens and realized everything looked weird.
What do you mean weird?
It's hard to describe, but it's just you look at something and your brain doesn't compute it. So you get tingles in your head, your eyes go cross-eyed, and you just can't figure out what's going on. So I talked to a few friends, and I figured out fast I had a concussion.
Wow. From what I heard through the grapevine, you really had to just kind of be locked at home. Like you were just down and out and at home.
Yeah, I couldn't. I tried to. I'm sort of a guy who likes to get out a lot.
Yeah.
So I first heard about a friend who had a concussion for 5 weeks, and I thought, this is madness. Like, I cannot take 5 weeks out. That's going to totally be terrible. But even after 5 weeks, I'd go for like a 10-minute walk in the sunshine thinking, I'm just going to make it to the bank and back.
Yeah.
And I'd get out there, and my eyes would start just screaming. By the time I come back, a whole week straight in bed, unable to go outside at all for a week. So it was just terrible. Yeah, it was terrible.
I just want to jump to the person to your right who's wearing sunglasses here in the studio, because that's a good segue. Mike, put your sunglasses back on. There we go. Atlanta Walker Carpenter. First of all, we found out a long time ago that in order to be a ministry leader, you have to have three names, like Ellen Graff Martin or Atlanta Walker Carpenter. Atlanta is the CEO of Business Leaders Ministry, Intricity.ca. Intricity.ca. You're wearing sunglasses because I think you are the most recent victim of all of this. Of the group of people that are here, this is like you're right in the middle of it right now.
Yes.
Yeah, just sneak in nice and close. So what happened? Same thing. What happened?
Just a fluke accident. I was downtown working. I stopped to go to the bathroom at the Board of Trade and hit my head up against the bathroom stall door.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
And were you knocked right out, or was it just like, ow, that really stinking hurt, and then it stayed with you, or what?
I wasn't knocked out, thankfully, because if I'd hit my head on the porcelain toilet, I think I would have been in a lot worse shape.
Sure.
But I was just simply stunned. Caught my breath, put some ice on it, tried to go back to work, wasn't successful, went home and rested.
So it wasn't successful because you had a headache, because it was like you felt nauseous?
I had a headache, felt nauseous,
okay.
Just very disoriented.
Yeah.
Went home, rested for the day, tried to go back the following day, and knew when I was in trouble. My husband knew right away I had a concussion. I've had two others before, and he could just see the similar trends. And
so you have a susceptibility to this?
Correct.
Because once you have one, is it not more, you're more susceptible from that point forward?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. What was your first one?
So my first one was in 2007, playing soccer. My second one was 5 years ago. Again, another accident. My little boy and I collided heads. And then this is the most recent.
Wow. Who knew that Atlanta Walker Carpenter was a headbanger? I mean, really, you seem so pleasant and nice and professional. What's the prognosis? When are you going to get normal?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing to sort of diagnose and say. They do expect a full recovery. That's the language that they've used. January is my return to work date, so to speak. I still, you know, if people were to ask me, I'd say I'm about 60 to 70% there, but I still have a very difficult time with light, with reading, printer, screen, or just my cognitive ability to problem solve without symptoms coming on.
Yeah. Wow. What is 10? You said you're at about 60%. What does 10% look like?
Bedridden.
Really?
I couldn't even move from one floor to the next in our home. Every step I took, I felt like I was going to be sick.
It's so interesting. This is why I wanted to have all of you on, because this, I don't understand this. Like, I have been beat to a pulp in rodeo and football, and I don't get the whole, you know, I have to wear sunglasses, I'm going to feel nauseous. I mean, obviously, I didn't have a concussion, because if I had a concussion, I would have these sorts of feelings. But, you know, you see people in the movies have concussions, and they don't get up and start puking.
That's what happens, though.
Is that okay? So let's go to Ellen, and then we've got a special guest on the phone, a special guest waiting on the phone from out on the East Coast there, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to her in a second. Ellen Graff Martin, she's the founder and president of publicity and marketing firm GraffMartin.com. Ellen?
Yeah.
What happened?
Freak accident. I was putting the cat. My husband will love this. I was putting the cat to bed. No joke. We take her. We don't want her meowing and waking us up in the morning, so we put her in the basement at night.
She's, okay, that makes sense.
You know, so I was. I didn't want to have to, like, you know, try to cajole her down with treats. I was like, I'll just carry the cat down. Her back claws went into my stomach, which hurts. I turned a little sideways, and I fell down the stairs, and I hit my head forward on some oak trim, split my scalp open, and then went backwards and hit the back of my head. Blacked out momentarily at the bottom, found myself at the bottom of the stairs, and my husband, it was like 11 o'clock at night, husband came out and was like, what the heck just happened? Because it was loud.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't actually really know. And so we still don't totally know how I split my scalp open because I can't remember.
Blame the cat.
I can't remember. I love that cat, though. She's like my therapy pet, but she's
not anymore.
You know, not, yeah, I don't know.
You're in therapy because
in
of that
therapy
cat.
In therapy because of the pet. But yeah, we actually still don't totally know how I split the front of my head open because I can't exactly remember it. So we have to assume what happened.
Okay, of all the stories so far, that's the coolest one, right? That's good. Like falling down the stairs, everyone goes,
Yeah.
You know, Mike, dude, falling in the bathroom because he drank water. You go, really?
Yeah, no, it's not.
You know, Alana's in a public toilet at the Board of Trade.
Well, this is the only non-toilet one.
Oh, that's right. Your stories are crappy. What happened to you afterwards?
So the next day, because my next door neighbor had had a really bad concussion that led to some really, really bad symptoms, that like things that people don't talk about, like depression related to concussion. Like we had watched her walk through hell with that a couple of years before. And so I got myself to the doctor the next day and he said, it's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. If it's your first concussion, you'll probably feel fine. And so I kind of half believed him.
Yeah.
And booked myself in to see the osteopath the next day and my massage therapist because I knew that there's a soft tissue injury that happens that affects the nerves. So I learned a lot through all the process because I'm also a bit of a nerd. I wanted to know what was happening. So learned which nerves are affected. And so there's actually a nerve that goes down to near your stomach that makes you nauseous. And so nausea is a huge early symptom where I was just nauseous all the time. So in the car, my husband wanted to get donuts for Father's Day. So we were driving down to Kitchener to get donuts. And I said, if I tell you to pull over, you need to pull over because the movement and the smell of food in the car was honestly like it's the worst form of torture that you could feel. And the light and the everything. It was awful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ellen, I had no idea you went through all this. Well, I think I know you the best of everyone here, and I had no idea.
You're not allowed to be on social media much when you
when it's negative.
Have a concussion. Well, no, when you have a concussion, you're not supposed to use screens, right? So I was cheating because I found it okay to use my phone screen, but a computer screen, still I have a real struggle with a computer screen.
You still to this day?
Yeah, I can use the little screen on my laptop, but I can't use an external monitor because it's way too hard on my head.
Okay, let's jump to our mystery caller. Just for a second, and we're going to come back and visit everyone again. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. It's our Halloween special, and right now it's the Hell of Head Trauma. Do we have a theme song for that? By the way, I need you to play Mike's got a cool little song. It's in my email, which is open.
Okay.
Yeah. Stacey Campbell needs another name. Stacey, what's your middle name?
Lynn.
Stacey Lynn Campbell on The Drew Marshall Show, President and CEO of Prison Ministry, prisonfellowship.ca. Stacey, you are in where? New Brunswick?
I am currently in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
That's what I meant. I always get those two confused. Stacey, you're hearing these stories. Are you relating?
I'm relating. Yeah, I'm relating.
What happened to you?
Driving down the highway, one that had stopped at a stoplight, and a little friend behind me, going full speed, texting. Drove into the back end of me while I was stopped and knocked me out.
Okay, you win.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How long were you out for?
It's hard, you know, I don't know. I do remember it was a really odd experience just coming to and kind of hanging over the steering wheel and waiting for a thought to come and knowing I was waiting, but there was just nothing. There just were no thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the driver who hit me, who did take responsibility,
Good.
The driver who hit me came up and he's talking and I'm still just waiting for the thoughts to come. And then he finally says, I'm going to call an ambulance. I'm going to call an ambulance. And I hold my hand up and say, no, don't. I have a hair appointment.
Signs you've just been knocked out.
There you go. So I actually did drive the 45 minutes on to the hairdressers. And when I got out of the car, just spiraling right into the ground. So,
wow. How long ago was that, Stacey?
A year ago, May.
So you guys have all really, within the last 2 years, have had this stuff go down in your life. This is so weird. And you all, most of you know each other, true? Mm-hmm. I mean, have you all run into each other? Who doesn't know Stacy? Is anyone?
Stacy and Alana are my girls.
Oh, really? This is your posse? You're the Larry, Curly, and Moe of head injuries here.
Well, you know, when you're
here.
A woman in leadership, Christian leadership in Canada, we need each other because there aren't too many of us.
Small group.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of us. We just don't know each other.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, so Stacy, I just want to stay with you for a second. Let's get all spiritual on this topic, because each of you experienced head trauma. Each of you then experienced recovering from this trauma in different ways. During this experience, Stacy, was it like, I don't know, the only thing I can relate it to is when I get the flu and I am just hurling my face off into the toilet and praying, dear God, let me get over this quickly. And if I could, if you just could heal me now, and I use all the right words, in the name of Jesus, all the stuff, everything I need to use. And if you heal me now, I will do X, Y, and Z for you. I will never do this again. I would start making deals with God. What did you do, Stacy?
I think for me, it was, I wasn't bargaining or any of that for me. It was just more trying to figure out, what is he doing? What's next? Because when you're in it, even though you hear the words Alana quoted, which are, you're going to get a full recovery. Definitely, the medical care that I had, were all telling me I would have a full recovery. And then you get better and then it gets worse. And then you push on when you shouldn't push on and then it gets worse. And you go back and forth and all these faculties that you lose, you wonder, will this come back? And so, for me, I think from a spiritual perspective, it was just a time to wonder, okay, so what does God have for me next? Is this it? Was that the best it was ever going to be? And what now? So for me, I think it was just a time of searching and asking that question.
Okay, so this brings into something I want to run by Mike, because we haven't heard from Mike for a bit, so I want to bring you back in here. Mike, I was having a conversation with Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife about their child running over their other child in their driveway and the child being killed. And I had this conversation. I'm pretty passionate about this subject, so I don't know if I'm going to step on someone's toes here, but I'm very gifted at doing that. I call it target theology. In other words, the more you do for Jesus, the bigger the target becomes on the back of your head. And so the enemy of God tries everything, like tries even harder to take you out. And if you carry that line of thinking through, then that's why Stephen Curtis Chapman's child drove over the other child, is because he's an international success with the Christian music and he's doing a lot for God. And so his target got bigger. And so Satan had that happen and God couldn't do anything to stop it. What do you think about target theology? Because you are a pretty successful, I know you're horrible at taking compliments, but you're Canadian. You're a pretty successful raging musician. You are a freak show. I've told many people this. I actually listen to your music. That's how good you are. You composed, scored the whole Steve Bell Orchestra stuff when he was doing his tour with the Winnipeg Orchestra, I think is what it was. So, you know, you're doing great things, and you're the first one to give credit to God all the time. So maybe your target just got bigger, and this is how Satan took you out. What do you think? Can you hear the cynicism in my voice?
Yeah. I guess, I haven't really felt like I've had a target on my back. There have been a lot of times where I've had, you know, a lot of tears and trying to figure out why is this happening to me. But I just don't get any good answers.
Silence.
Yeah, but I do get the sense that I'm being held or kept, which is a weird thing because I'm used to just doing stuff. But in this season, I get the deeper sense that I just have to just be taken care of by God rather than do stuff. Even though there's people around me everywhere doing stuff. But and out of that, I think there's this thing that roots grow deeper in the winter, that thing. Because I usually think winter is a dead season. Mm-hmm. But there's actually something happening
below the surface.
Below. And when I closed my eyes the first few weeks of the injury, I mean, I saw flashes of light. But I also saw a lot of weird thoughts and a lot of, like, and I realized there's a lot inside us that I was given the gift of a forced sabbatical, which really sucked. But this idea that everything was cut from me, everything. I would have never cut screens out of my life. I would have never cut out even music or anything. And a lot of them were painful, like my family, less time, and like lots of things were very painful. But I guess when you're right at the bottom, you sort of go, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And the only choice really is to just see what you do have, see what maybe God can do out of it. And I was really surprised. I probably experienced more long miracles or breakthroughs in the last few years than, you know, the rest of my life, just because there was a lot of brokenness there and a lot of opportunity for the littlest thing to mean a lot to me.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so what I just heard you say was, I'm not convinced that Satan got me. All I know is that I have this feeling of being taken care of and being held, and it was a forced sabbatical in which my roots grew deeper.
Yeah, if anything, I guess I feel protected, you know.
Okay.
If anything.
Yeah.
Because when you're that bad and you can't do anything that you used to do, you know, it's like a friend who goes through the worst thing with you. After you've gone through that together, you're pretty. There's something different about that friendship.
Yeah.
So I sort of feel that way more than anything.
So interesting. Yeah. Mike Jansen, recording artist. His website is mikejansentrio.com. Alana Walker Carpenter is sitting beside me. She's the CEO of Business Leaders Ministry called Intricity, intricity.ca. For sabbatical, how do you feel about that? Because I got the email from you that said, I'm out.
Yeah, anybody that's used the word sabbatical, I've done a reframe and said, this is not a sabbatical.
No.
This is a medical leave. I didn't plan for this.
Yeah.
There's no luxury in this.
Yeah. But do you, what do you do with the blaming God thing? Because ultimately, if you're really doing well with God, you would never blame him. But if God is in control of everything, then he allowed this to happen. And then if he allowed it to happen, and that means he could have stopped it, so therefore he allowed it. You know, that whole thinking, where did you go in your mind with, God, what the heck?
Probably a couple of months in, I had some pretty frank discussions with God and, you know, just had one of those little laugh out loud, kind of like, well, I guess you're really in control. And then I went into sort of full surrender. I thought, if this is going to be what it's going to be, I might as well embrace it for what it is, rather than resist it. And I think if we all were to converse here, there has been unexpected joy, small gifts in it all. So it hasn't been, at first you perceive it as a loss,
mm-hmm.
but there has been some gains in it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important not to over-spiritualize it. I think we ourselves can do it. Other people can certainly do it for us.
You mean over-spiritualize things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had anyone do that to you?
Yes.
Can you tell me what their names are?
No. Just those well-meaning people. But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It just simply is what it is. And there's lots of things that I'm sure we've all learned and have yet to learn. And it certainly will change my disposition in journeying with people who are suffering and how I continue to extend care to people who are suffering both physically or in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I want to come to Ellen in just a second here, but I want to make sure Stacy Campbell is still with us. Stacy?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, Stacy is traveling in the East Coast thereby. And Stacy, I just want to actually jump to you before we go to Ellen about in your situation, someone did this to you. You didn't fall in the kitchen. You didn't hit your head you weren't in the bathroom for two of the people. You didn't fall down the stairs while Sylvester clawed your chest or stomach or whatever it was. You were rear-ended by someone who was texting. And to me, that's an interesting element because, and again, this might sound like I'm over-spiritualizing it, but there's forgiveness involved now. True story?
For sure. I think because that's such a big part of my ministry and my vocational work that I do. I mean, immediately there was, okay, he was doing something. Let's be honest. Have any of us not ever texted or flipped a few buttons on the phone when we've been driving? I don't think I ever really blamed him or was angry with him. He was really good about it. He texted me, actually my husband, because I was off of screens, you know, a few times after the accident to make sure that I was okay. He did feel badly. What was interesting for me was, because restorative justice is such an important thing to me, you know, here's a fellow who has to face the police and be charged. And for me, I'm thinking, well, actually, I just got knocked out of any evening events or driving or anything like that for the next little while. How about rather than give him a ticket, how about you have him be my driver when I've got to go to an event? And really, that's kind of where my mind went. I honestly was not upset with him. He didn't do it to me on purpose. He made a mistake. He was sorry. I really didn't. I can't honestly say if I was. I don't remember. I can't say that I was ever angry with him.
So did I just hear that the president and CEO of Prison Ministry, prisonfellowship.ca, didn't want him to be charged and to maybe, you know, be fined and maybe even go to prison for what he did?
I would say that those options to me are not redemptive, and what do they really produce? Now, I want to be careful when you phrase it that way, because would I feel that way about everything that happens? Absolutely not. I do support incarceration. I think it's a very pro-social response to certain crimes and to serious crimes. But somebody gets a ticket, he writes a check and pays the ticket. What does he remember?
Yeah.
Seriously, where he is, what does he remember about this event? Does he remember it at all? I haven't forgotten about it. But had he had to spend time, give up a few of his evenings to take me to things that I needed to get to and then couldn't, he would never.
I'm just watching Tim hit the buttons here. He's first day. Now he's talking in his own mic, and his you're fun. I care about you so much.
I know you've never made a mistake.
Can we cuddle later?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Hey, head trauma people. By the way, are you okay with that phrase? Does it make you feel labeled, persecuted?
Feels
I don't know.
Awfully weird when people say it's a traumatic brain injury, because it's not actually called the concussion. I think is what happens to you. What you have after that is not a concussion, it's a traumatic brain injury. So they use that phrasing, which feels very...
Traumatic?
Scary.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, actually, to have someone tell you that you have a brain injury.
All right, we are in the studio here with some very, very good friends. Four people, well, one's on the phone, but four people who have all sustained some pretty brutal head injuries, head trauma. I don't know what the words are, because we're confused after that rant by Ellen Graf Martin.
Traumatic brain injury.
That's it!
Yes.
So, I guess I don't want to go right back to that whole target theology, but four ministry leaders have been taken out for a period of time because of head traumas in just this area. Is that weird?
Honestly, I think it's a little weird, to be really honest, but, you know, one of the things, I don't know if it's about our ministry, but when we were laughing about this, Dan and I, well, you know Dan.
I do.
My husband Dan and I were laughing about the hell of head injury.
Is that what it was? Yeah, the hell of head trauma.
Head trauma was the topic or that, you know, we're supposed to be talking about. And I think he made the joke, well, then they should be talking to the spouses. Because, like, really, honestly, I mean, that's true.
I love Dan.
It was very, like, straight like that. And I... And it's, but you know what? It's true. Because Dan and I have often said that the fastest way for our ministry and our impact to be derailed is for our marriage to suck. And for people around us to see that. And it's hard to be married to someone who is not well.
Uh-huh.
And
are you talking about Dan?
No. I'm talking about me.
Oh,
that
right.
Poor man is a saint, I tell you. But you know, especially when it's something you can't see or can't understand.
Yeah.
And you can't actually understand the symptoms until you've lived them. Like, our neighbor lived through it. I didn't understand. But, and it's a weird one because, like, you see a broken leg, you can understand the trajectory for fixing it. If it doesn't fix properly, like, are they going to put pins in or, you know, do surgery? You can't do surgery for this. You can be as proactive as you possibly can. But then, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes you take two steps back and then one step forward, and then and the progress is slow and you're frustrated and angry and all that stuff, which is great for a marriage.
Well, Mike Jansen, do you have a significant person in your life?
I do, yes.
Did they want to give you another concussion because of how much of a pain in the butt you were?
Yeah, you know, it's I agree with those. That's totally, I mean, it is the spouses who, you know, have to carry the heaviest loads. And for me, it was interesting because right when I got a concussion, we had just found out we were pregnant. So right at the same time.
Wow.
And I couldn't tell anyone.
Now we know why you passed out.
There we go. Exactly. I had a good reason.
Yeah.
Oh, good. And so I, you know, so all along she sort of carried this pregnancy right up to the very last day where she was starting, you know, things were starting to move and I was napping and I had to take a sleep during the night. She had to watch her contractions all by herself. Then she had to bring us to the hospital, and then we had to debate who gets the bed when we get there. And I lay down on one little bed, and she was on the other bed. And then, sort of, when the time came, I got up and tried to do my best cheerleader, you know, impersonation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, spouses, yeah, fast track to sainthood for sure. You know,
fast track to sainthood, man. Well, I think we can go right around the room and do a little shout out to the. To the other halves of the relationships that are happening, Alana, speak nicely of your man.
Oh, I'm equally blessed. My husband.
You know what? Whether he was a jerk or not, you have to say nice things now because everyone else is doing it.
And I would also say our children.
Yeah.
So it's not just our spouses.
Yeah.
You know, my son has been a cheerleader.
How old's your son?
10.
Wow.
He's prayed. I've not always liked the prayers that he's prayed.
Like, for example?
There was one in particular. We have this little Sunday night meeting, and he's like, wow, God, we pray for mommy's concussion, but if there's more you want to teach her, it's okay. You can let it keep going. And I just wanted to put my hand over his mouth and say, no, that's not a good prayer.
But I love that honesty. Oh, my goodness.
Felt that way. So, I mean, all of our children have suffered as we have suffered.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, on the line again is Stacy Campbell, President and CEO of Prison Ministry, Prison Fellowship. Stacy, this just kind of came out of the blue, and I was thinking about this earlier, but in your world, I don't know if I want to go down this angle. Well, we're going there. In your world dealing with prisoners, what people on the outside are leery of is prisoners lying in order to get early parole, prisoners becoming Christians, finding the Lord conveniently in order to get early parole. So I'm talking about excuses. And we live in a world where excuses are taking over. And I guess what I, as an outsider, as someone who's not experienced head trauma or a concussion and all the stuff that you guys are talking about, Ellen was referring to this earlier. When it's an internal injury, outsiders kind of, I don't know if your spouses want to admit this, but I can guarantee you every one of your partners at one point has said to themselves, at least to themselves, oh, come on. Is it really that bad? Help me understand this, Stacy, in terms of those in your lives and just you guys also facing the reality that you have an internal injury and people just don't get it. Can you speak to that at all, Stacy, or am I just blowing wind here?
Well, it's an interesting question. I certainly know what you're saying. And I mean, I can definitely echo the others in the room. I had a very, very supportive spouse. Probably the hardest part for him was getting me to stop when I should stop. Because you so badly, for me, it was a first, and I'm certainly hoping a last. But you so badly want to believe, oh, I feel better. And then you keep going. And so I would say that was probably the biggest challenge because then the family pays for it afterwards because now you're worse off.
Right.
Because you didn't stop. So I would say that was.
It's got to be exhausting, like feeling the way you feel and knowing that people are looking at you going, what's wrong with you? Because you don't have a cast on. Are you always, and I'm going to look at all of you in the room, are you always having to say to people, I'm sorry, I'm not myself, I had a head injury. I'm sorry, I'm not myself, I had a head injury. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be exhausting.
For some times, I'm sure it was there. I wish I had more memory of the of that time. I am missing a lot of memory from that time. One of the things that was interesting that happened with me in my head trauma, it actually was obvious. I would say words that I didn't mean. I knew I was saying the wrong word, but I could not access the right word.
That's my entire show for 4 hours every Saturday.
Well, I feel badly for you. It's a very, very frustrating thing. Or you just cannot recall things. You're just staring blankly at people. And I think for me, I think it was pretty obvious to others. In other times, for the length it goes on and on, I'm sure there is a point where they go, come on, you've got to start pulling your weight now. But, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're running out of time. Boy, that went so fast. And I'm absolutely thrilled that all of you came, because this is the bizarre phenomena that all of you have experienced this. And for all of you to get together and share this with our listeners is really, really, it's a cool thing. And I know it was an effort. I mean, it's hard to trust James to drive, right?
Very tough.
Mike Jansen.
Very tough.
Like, he is just a nutty driver. Yeah. And Atlanta, last thing you want to do is get out of your place and come all the way down here and be in studio. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier just to do this over the phone?
Yes.
Ellen, you were already at an event.
Yeah.
And now you're coming to this. And
it's kind of a miracle. Like, this is probably the biggest day that I've had since June. With a lot. And I had to drive down today from Elmira. So I had an hour drive, and I have an hour drive home.
Do we need to worry about you driving home? Because James could take you.
you know what? I think I'm starting to feel a little better. But the fatigue.
Yes, it
of
comes
this
quicker.
Is, and I am not a low energy person.
No, you're not.
So,
no.
Yeah.
Speaking of low energy, Tim?
Yeah, well.
Eeyore? You wanted to say something.
You know, well, mental illness is another thing, and I'm finding a lot of relation to what they're talking about people not understanding, is it really that bad, so on and so forth. But my question is...
Oh, because you struggle with depression,
right? Yeah, with depression.
Yeah.
Has your trauma led to mental illness as well?
Well, Ellen, you referred to that earlier, depression sneaking in.
Yeah, where you feel that super heavy discouragement where you feel like you're never going to get better. And just like for me, I'm fortunate. I know others who have battled suicidal thoughts along with this and bad depression. For me, it's more that super heavy discouragement and just being a not happy person in general, because I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
Like just, and I, you know me, I'm scarily optimistic, not
super frustrated. It is irritating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you just don't feel like you, and I was sharing this earlier, it felt like kind of what Stacey said, it felt like I had early onset dementia.
Right.
Because I would just, and my work is my brain, and I would say the wrong thing. I still can't remember stuff from the summer. People are like, well, I told you that. And I like, yeah, I have no idea. So yeah. I feel like I'm going crazy that way.
Yeah. Well, let me wrap this up by saying this. First of all, the way I'm wired in understanding and processing what you guys are going through means I process it through my own journey. I think we all do that. But I would say if I was in your situation, I would be. It would be just another reason for me to not believe there's a God, but to maybe kind of lean more towards the non-interactive part of an evangelical God that I've been sold for many years. So with all four of you crying out, I'm sure you've all done this. We've talked about it. God, please heal me. God, take this away from me. Some of you have probably had hands laid on you and anointed with oil and all sorts of the, like, you've done everything you're supposed to do. And there hasn't been a Shazam with any of you. So what do we read into that? You know, is there a God even listening? Is that real? Is this faith stuff real? And then you go, well, now you're all ministry leaders, so you got to keep going with that. You know, yeah, God is real. Well, then how interactive is he? And why doesn't he heal? we've done the right things. It's not a recipe. We get that. But we've had hearts, we think, I'm sure, in the right places. You've surrendered before the Creator and done whatever you think you need to do. And then your son said it best. I love what your son said, Alana. I know you didn't, but I love what he said, which is, if there's more to be learned here, then let her keep going. I guess she needs to keep suffering. If there's more to be learned, it's all about, always about the lessons. That's what gets in the way of God going Shazam. Sorry, I can't go Shazam. There's a lesson to be learned. So I pull back in all of this and go, well, maybe God is not as interactive as we think he is. And I'm not going to let any of you say anything about that for two reasons. One, that discussion could go on forever and we've got to move on in the show. But two, I can't remember what the second reason was. I think I just hit my head.
It was a really good one.
Yeah, it was a great reason.
It was the football.
It totally was.
They're small TBIs. They say that in football it's actually small TBIs that lead up to dementia. So
what's a TBI? Is that a...
Traumatic brain injury.
Oh, right.
So there we are.
Do they come in bulk? Okay, let's get rid of Stacy. That's not a nice thing to say. Stacy, you're on a cell phone all the way from the other side of this country. Thank you for joining us and being the president and CEO of Prison Ministry, prisonfellowship.ca. That's a plug. That's what I did there. Shameless plug for your organization.
Thank you, Drew. Wonderful to be with all of you.
Take care. Bye, Stacy.
Bye-bye.
Okay. She's gone now. Let's talk about her.
She's great.
She is.
She's really great.
I told her what you said to me.
What did I say to you?
Oh, blame it on the head trauma? No, you said something like you would like her because she's a straight-shooting kind of girl.
She really encouraged me. Like, this is the part where I could actually see God there. Is it, he used Stacy and her journey to say, Ellen, don't go back to work too fast and don't do this too fast.
Right.
And I ran plans to go back to work by her because she lived it. So
phenomenal.
I didn't have to know her, you know, and have those experiences, but I do.
I just was struck with something that I think I'm going to do. I don't want to do this.
Sing?
No, I'm not going to sing. Stop it. I'm going to... am I doing this? Okay. I'm going to pray for you guys. Because I'm going to... God, you know that... You know that we're unclear about so many things about you. And sometimes I just feel like I'm talking to air. Am I doing this just for radio and praying on radio because it feels cool and it's going to look good to people that are wondering about me spiritually? I don't know. All I know is that I actually give a rip about these people and the struggles that I don't understand. I guess I'm scared. Selfishly, I don't want it to happen to me, so I'm praying for them because maybe that'll help my good bank with you. But can you... I don't know. Should we ask for healing or should...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So are you there, God? Oh, now it's starting to sound like that book. It's me, Margaret. God, if you do hear us, then please hear us. Please hear us. I would ask boldly, and I think all of our listeners are probably listening right now, no matter what they believe, if you're there and you are a good God, please hear us and please heal my friends. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you.
I know I feel weird now, like I just bossed God around with the right words.
You did good, Drew. You did great. Pray for us. Pray for our spouses. Like, this is...
Oh, let's do that over again and pray for your spouses.
No, like anyone who's listening and feels so inclined. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
But then there's the... Now, see, I'm on a rant now. Because then there's the... But there's children starving. They don't have food. And you guys got head injuries. You get headaches and light bugs you from the computer screens that they can't afford.
Yeah, but it kind of... changes our life too. You know what? God just cares about us. This is one of those things. You can't be mad at God for this either, because it's part of just being human, is that our bodies are fragile. And especially when you're like, we are pretty capable people in this room, and Stacy is too. And the reality is that when something happens like this, you realize that you're not as capable as you think you might be.
Yeah.
Is that true, Alana?
In your weakness, he is strong?
Yes.
How about I throw that one down right there? You like that?
Yeah.
What a spiritual giant I am.
The healing one, I've contemplated so much.
Yeah.
And God might not have restored us physically, but I would say that he's healed some relationships, right? Like, there's nowhere for me to go. I'm just slower and can have a greater presence. It really has healed... maybe not in the way I wanted to, but in a very unexpected way.
But that's like the tricky praying response. That's the way God trickily responds to our prayers. Dear God, please heal me physically. Oh, I didn't say it right. No, God, what I mean is, he knows better. He's going to restore your relationships because that's more important. Well, God, that's actually not what I was talking about. And if you can read my mind, which you're God and you can, you know what I was talking about when it comes to heal me. So why you got to be so tricky? I'm ranting.
I get it. Don't worry. I've ranted too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, seriously? Not once, not twice, not three times. Like, what am I missing?
Yeah, you got the repetitive
concussion. What am I missing?
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're going to be walking around like Bubble Boy from Seinfeld.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Hey?
Well, my husband said, what are you going to do, wear a helmet when you go to the bathroom?
Wow. And the worst part is one of the concussion symptoms is that you lose, like, depth perception and stuff. So then you actually, like, I have a huge gash up my knee because I walked into a big piece of metal that I genuinely couldn't see.
Really?
And so I have this huge scar on my knee as well as my head because you lose different senses.
Yeah, awareness, body awareness. Okay, we're going to go out with a track from Mike Jansen. Which track did we find here, Tim? Which one are we playing? You need to turn your mic on before you talk into it.
The one that was there. Sorry. Right.
Okay. I'm not sure which one it is, so we're going to find out.
I have no idea either.
Well, actually, you just emailed it to me this morning.
Yeah, I don't
but
know
you
which
emailed
one.
Two.
I emailed two, right, so it's going to be...
One of them.
One of them.
Thanks for narrowing that down. That's great. All right. Oh, a little piano.
Oh, that one.
Which one is this one?
It's about getting your life back, very bit by bit.
Beautiful. Have a listen to Mike Jansen.
Bit by bit, I'm getting my life back. Inch by inch, I'm traveling down the right track. Bit by bit, bit by bit. Better days are knocking on my door. Tapping feet, I'm moving to the dance floor. Bit by bit,